This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, May 5th, brought to you by Watkins & Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. U.S. ships attacked in the Strait of Hormuz. USTR shooting to wrap up 301 probes this summer. And PFAS case dismissed. The future of an ongoing ceasefire with Iran is on shaky ground. That after the U.S. reported attacks on ships the Navy was escorting through the Strait of Hormuz. Iran has taken some shots at unrelated nations, including a South Korean vessel, President Donald Trump posted to his Truth Social account yesterday. The United Arab Emirates Ministry of Defense also said on social media that Iran had launched over a dozen missiles at UAE targets yesterday. The attacks come just a day after President Trump said the U.S. would begin escorting other country-stranded commercial vessels through the strait as a part of what he dubbed Project Freedom. A ceasefire has been in effect for 4 weeks now as both sides negotiate over an end to the conflict, which has driven commodity prices up more than 8%, urea up 50%, and DAP up 17%. Trump said over the weekend that he would likely reject the latest Iranian proposal as the country has not paid a big enough price. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent urged the Chinese government to apply pressure to Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Iran is the largest state sponsor of terrorism, and China has been buying 90% of their energy. So they are funding the largest state sponsor of terrorism, he said on Fox News. Let's see Beijing step up with some diplomacy and get the Iranians to open the strait. Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping are set to meet face-to-face in Beijing later this month. U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer is aiming to complete two trade investigations into countries' unfair trade practices by the summer. The probes are likely to be used to justify new tariffs, with a temporary global tariff set to expire this summer. We expect to be wrapping up those this summer, he told CNBC yesterday, but Greer left the door open for further deal-making. At that time, the president will be able to assess whether those problems require a reaction in the form of a tariff or otherwise, or whether we can have deals to try to eliminate the practices, he added. The global tariff is set to lapse in July without congressional action. USTR is kicking off a four-day hearing today in its investigation into economies manufacturing overcapacity. The first day of testimony will feature comments from the sugar, seed, and soybean industries. Representatives from the olive oil tree, distilled spirits, and cheese import sectors slated to testify tomorrow. In remarks seen by AgriPulse, the American Sugar Alliance, Rob Johansson, will argue a global overcapacity in sugar production and foreign subsidies are hurting the U.S. industry. The U.S. trade representative has a critical opportunity to correct for unfair foreign trade practices that have led to chronic global overcapacity in sugar production and to prevent American sugar producers from experiencing further losses, Johansson will say. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Dairy Management Incorporated serves America's 34,000-plus dairy farmers and dairy importers by managing research and marketing programs aimed at promoting dairy consumption and protecting the good image of dairy farmers, dairy products, and the dairy industry. Funded entirely by dairy farmers, DMI has distinguished itself as a strategic consultant and valuable resource to businesses and organizations in the food and beverage sector that seek to increase sales and raise their image through the innovative use of dairy and dairy ingredients.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Soybean farmers are seeing higher crop values amid robust crushing in the heartland and more favorable biofuel policy in Washington. Higher demand for soy oil needed to make biodiesel is helping drive up prices at the Chicago Board of Trade. Futures have jumped more than 30% over the last 3 months. The value of whole soybeans also on the upswing, closing above $12 a bushel yesterday. That's for the first time since mid-March. Record crush margins have motivated ag processors to secure soybean supplies for the summer, StoneX Group of Chief Commodities Economist Arlen Suderman says. But the outlook for global demand remains in question as President Trump prepares to visit China later this month, that according to Terrain's Bree Batts. Domestic biofuel policy can stabilize prices, but alone it will not be supportive of prices sustaining beans in the teens levels for a long term, the soy analyst said. Still, the U.S. appetite for processed soy is building. Farmers living near crush plants could see favorable cash prices in the year's second half. That's added. Planting season is well underway, with corn and soybean farmers reporting that they have sown more than a third of their acreage, according to the Agriculture Department's most recent crop progress report. Corn farmers across the 18 states report 38% of their acres planted as of May 3rd. Soybean farmers in 18 states have planted a third of their crop, according to the report released yesterday. In the meantime, cotton farmers in 15 states planting around 20% of their acreage. Sorghum farmers in 6 states have planted 23% of their acreage. A federal appeals court has rejected an appeal from 2 environmental groups challenging EPA over PFAS regulations after concluding that they do not have legal standing to pursue the case. Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility and the Center for Environmental Health had sued in a district court in Washington, D.C., seeking a shutdown of production of PFOA, one of a class of PFAS formed during the fluorination of plastic containers. The court dismissed the case in part because EPA had initiated rulemaking addressing the issue. The D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled for EPA on different grounds, finding that the 2 groups lacked associational standing to plead their case. The groups, quote, do not suggest that they have the requisite roles, responsibilities, or influence over the organizations to alone satisfy the strictures of association standing, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals said in its opinion released yesterday. To the extent they gesture toward that position on reply, the argument comes too late. Cinco de Mayo is shaping up to be a big one in the produce aisle. Record avocado imports stepped up retail promotions. U.S. importers are on track to bring in a record 235 million pounds of Mexican avocados in the month leading up to the holiday, according to the Haas Avocado Board. The industry is betting on food-centered celebrations. We're seeing a real cultural shift in how people, especially new generations, are choosing to celebrate. They're drinking less and connecting more through shared experiences like food, said Alvarado Luke, president and CEO of Avocados from Mexico, in an industry press release. That trend is why we're prepping for our biggest Cinco ever. Retailers are leaning in. Produce ads climbed 4% over 266,000, USDA data says. Lime purchases surged 34% from a year ago, while advertised Haas avocado prices dropped 23%. Here's today's final word. We are hopeful that those prices will start coming down this summer, this fall. But again, this is a massive, complicated policy challenge that we're working to fight every single day. That Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins speaking about beef prices at a press conference yesterday. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, May 5th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jack Daly.